and welcome to Useful Idiots, Blast from the Past edition. So excited to be here with the OG Useful Idiot, Matt Taibbi.
How's it going, Katie?
Good, you?
I'm good. I just got back from vacation.
Where'd you go?
Just to my old hometown in Massachusetts.
Nice.
Beach kids, that kind
nice.
Of stuff.
Cool.
So it's all good. Back hard at work.
Is it hard for you not to be working? Do you like your fingers go like that, like automatically muscle memory?
I'm like deeply neurotic at this stage of my life. Although I think I'm pretty close to having some kind of breakthrough where.
I thought you were going to say like, breakdown.
No, like a work sucks kind of a breakthrough where I just stop doing this, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like Office Space. I'm close to having one of those moments.
Okay.
So how about you?
I'm good. I've been traveling a bit. I'm upstate right now. I was visiting a friend's family and I realized that like, I feel like I'm so flexible and such an easy person to be friends with because I can do my work from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I forget that that's like an imposition on the people I'm staying with.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
I have to take over someone's room.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
People, I mean, I think people in general, those who have 9-to-5 jobs are in the minority now.
Yeah, I think so.
Almost everybody else is working more or less all the time and, you know, in some kind of non-standard arrangement where you never really are free.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've established that. That's a happy thing.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Servitude.
Thanks for having me back on Useful Idiots. So what are we doing now? I forget how we do this show.
Well, we're doing what you once introduced as something that I think one of your father's colleagues said, which is every news story can be broken up into one of the four basic food groups, which is Democrats suck, Republicans suck. Isn't that weird? Isn't that terrible?
Right.
And we're sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron is away this week. And so we were so thrilled to have Matt. I don't want to say fill in. I'll say return.
No, not fill in.
That makes you seem like you're a replacement or you're not our first choice. Aaron is the replacement. I'm just kidding. We love you, Aaron. I'm just kidding. I think he'll appreciate that dig. But I have Democrats suck this week. So for Democrats suck, let's go to a story about Saudi Arabia. And let's hear from Amy talk about Goodman of Democracy Now!
The Biden administration's has known Saudi security forces were killing Ethiopian asylum seekers since at least last fall, but chose to keep quiet. That's according to the New York Times, which reports United Nations officials last year presented the U.S. with information about Saudi border guards shooting Ethiopian asylum seekers, including women and children. The gruesome abuse was exposed by a Human Rights Watch report earlier this month, which documented how hundreds and possibly thousands of asylum seekers have been killed. The group said Saudi authorities fired machine guns and explosive weapons at asylum seekers who were fleeing human rights abuses in Ethiopia's Tigray region and attempted to cross the Yemen-Saudi border. Guards also executed people at close range. The report cited firsthand accounts from 42 Ethiopian asylum seekers, over 100 verified videos and photos, and analysis of satellite imagery between 2021 and this year. The Biden administration has not publicly criticized Saudi Arabia, a close ally, for the killings.
So that is, you know, one
talk
of the
about
things,
murder.
Talk yeah. about murder at close range of asylum seekers. No, but one of the things that one of the reasons this is a Democrat suck is because one of the things that Biden claimed was different about him was that he was going to make Saudi Arabia a pariah state. He didn't do anything about the confirmed Khashoggi murders, even though reports documented that Mohammed bin Salman was involved. And, you know, it's just that they did shift. They did like a rebranding.
Mm-hmm.
They had a cute PR campaign where they said they're no longer funding offensive weapons, just defensive. And
what does that even mean?
It means nothing. I mean, it's like at least Trump, remember when Trump was asked if he was going to do anything to Bin Salman about Khashoggi? He's like, no, why would I do anything? They just bought a bunch of weapons from us. Why would I do anything? Like, that is preferable to the Democrats who pretend they're going to do something and don't do anything. At least the Republicans are honest about their motives.
It's true. It's true. Do we think those were that Those graphics were by Human Rights Watch.
Yeah, right? Not Democracy Now, not I don't
Democracy
think.
Democracy Now. I was going to say, I think it's a little beyond their capabilities there in that shop. Are you a Werner Herzog fan?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Isn't there a scene in that footage that is culled straight from Aguirre Wrath of God where they're walking up that mountain pass?
Oh. What if we just exposed, what if this isn't just an Isn't That Terrible to Democrats, but it isn't that terrible of Democracy Now! For ripping off Aguirre the Wrath of God?
Is Wilson still generally here?
Wilson's here.
Does he pipe in? Does he still do the Carlton the Doorman thing?
Mm-hmm. I'm already looking it up right now.
Yeah. I think there's a scene where there's this, because I remember the discussion of this about how they had to get a gazillion extras to march up a mountain pass in that movie, which I love. But did you ever see
your Werner Herzog impression to talk about this next point?
I can't do a good Werner Herzog impression. Does anyone else have a good one?
I mean, does he just have a German accent?
He has a German. It's a very thick German.
It's a very thick German accent.
The natives walk up the volcano.
Yes, That's it.
The natives walk up the mountains.
That was a little bit more like Mandalorian Werner Herzog.
Oh, nice.
No, I mean, like the Saudi Arabia thing. Any American politician who claims they're going to do anything about this is lying.
Right.
Like they will now and forever be lying. Because of the strategic importance of the country to us, we have, you know, all sorts of military entanglements and financial ones,
right,
with Saudi Arabia, which are never going to be unraveled, not for anybody's sake, not even for Israel's. So any politicians who talks about this is always automatically lying.
Yeah.
You know, this is just another example of the sort of human rights atrocity, I guess, that we have learned to casually accept in our generation.
And fund and arm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you detect a change in that? I mean, like, I feel like maybe 5 years ago, it was slightly a thing like, wow, maybe we shouldn't be funding drone assassinations of kids in Yemen and that sort of thing. Like, there was briefly like a little bit of cringe nervousness about that. There was a PBS story I think somebody tried to do criticizing that.
I mean what Bernie and Mike Lee, right, they tried to do something on that. Ro Khanna has tried to do something on it, but in general I think people have accepted it, like you said. I mean, it's like, you know, Israel is America's wife and Saudi Arabia is America's side piece,
or its other wife, using Saudi Arabian.
You're right. not even its other wife. I mean, it's mistress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we brag about our special relationship with Israel.
That's true.
And
that's
we
true.
Kind of hide it. Hide the one with Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
And selectively complain about it. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest things that Saudi Arabia has gotten negative press about in the last 4 or 5 years have all been partisan squabbles. So if it was Donald Trump inappropriately responding to the Khashoggi situation, that was the biggest deal in history. Or if it was Elon Musk buying Twitter and essentially using the same Saudi financing that the previous owners used, but that became a big deal as well.
Right. But none of the people mad about the Trump thing are mad about Biden not doing anything about Khashoggi.
Of course not. I mean, just everybody's full of it. Everybody's a liar and has no principles.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was I this dark last time?
Oh yeah,
I
think
so.
I think it's beautiful. It's kind of a nice universal message. It unites humankind.
I wasn't always. I have to say, I wasn't always this cynical about.
Well, because you haven't been doing the show with me for a while, so my sunshine has worn off. The usual sunshine that I would emit onto you. Yeah, the rays of sunshine and chirpiness. Yeah.
Well,
chipperness, not chirpiness.
Chipperness. Yeah. Right. Yes. Chirpiness is something else. That would be you and I, you know, getting in arguments, which we do that too.
A little, Chirpy, is that argumentative? I just think of it as, I guess it could be.
Chirpiness could is be that- like, well, I guess it's a little bit like chippiness. So now we're getting into chippiness, which is like something that happens on in sports.
Right.
Things are getting a little chippy out there.
Huh.
You know, players have to be separated. Like that.
Oh, got it.
Right. But they're not chirpy.
Right.
Oh, here we go. Okay, what's this?
Wow. That does look like they may have stolen that Aguirre Wrath of God footage.
Nice, Wilson.
Wow, Wilson. Well done.
You're the man.
Wow. You're on notice, Human Rights Watch or Democracy Now. You better come back and prove that you didn't rip off that footage.
You took that stuff straight from Aguirre Wrath of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna use the next one they're gonna use is the raft monkey scene for their next story, which will not be about a mountain border, it'll be about a river border. So that would be that would be Mexico probably, right?
Right, yeah.
It's gonna be Amy Goodman watching the footage saying, you can't hear this. The sound is too horrible. Like you know, in Grizzly Man.
Right, yeah.
I haven't seen Grizzly Man. I
have to see it. Oh, you have to see Grizzly Man. That is a funny movie. Funny, horrible.
Right. Funny,
horrible,
dark,
funny. Yeah. I don't
know. Kind of our lane of humor.
Yeah. Wilson, would you say horrible, funny or funny, horrible?
Funny, horrible.
Yeah, I'd go for funny, horrible.
Okay.
I mean, he does die. Horrible.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's so terrible that he can't show us the footage. We just watch him showing it. So that's what Amy Goodman's going to do.
Right. Talk about
like True Detective.
Yeah. Talk about being mauled by a bear.
Oh my God.
Talk about bear maulings. Yeah. So, okay. So is anything else about that situation you think needs to be covered?
No, I think we covered it.
All right. Well, for Republicans Suck, I felt like somebody needed to say something about Chris Christie. Who is, look, I got to give the guy credit. This guy's been dead more times than politics. Mm. What's the analogy for somebody who comes to, he's Jason.
Oh, Jason. Okay. Yeah.
Right. He's almost come back to life as many times as Mike Myers or Jason. It's kind of incredible. He's getting sort of big mainstream news outlets to take his campaign for the presidency seriously, which, you know, it's important. He had a little bit of an embarrassing moment during the debate last week when Britt Baier said that we have to mention the other elephant in the room when he mentioning Trump, because, you know, Christie famously was called the elephant in the room on the cover of Time magazine before the 2016 race, identifying him as a serious contender. Which he milked quite expertly, I thought, at the time. So now he's making all this fuss about the problematic situation that the Republicans face, and he got a profile done of him by NBC, where he's saying, if Trump wins the GOP nomination, quote, we're going to lose this election. And if we lose to Joe Biden, Republicans need to understand that we're going to be looking at a packed Supreme Court. We're going to be looking at the end of the filibuster. And then this is my favorite. I'm unafraid to tell the truth about Donald Trump. So I thought this would be a good moment to bring up a couple of things. First of all, let's remember that Chris Christie was the first person to formally endorse so-called real politician to formally endorse Donald Trump. And maybe we could just soak in for a moment the scene of Chris Christie standing there as mute, eating Trump's shit as Trump gloats over his Super Tuesday victory. Wilson, could we roll that tape for a second? I mean, it doesn't take much to drink in the meaning of this scene, but I think it's a good scene.
So I just want to say that this was an exciting evening. It's so great to be in Florida.
Look at his
it's
eyes.
So great to be at Mar-a-Lago with friends and the press and the media and everybody. I know it was a very tough night for Marco Rubio. He had a tough night, but he worked hard. He spent a lot of money. He is a lightweight, as I've said many times before. But you know what? We're going to go to Florida. We're going to spend so much time in Florida. We've got about a 20-point lead.
That tape goes on, if you remember, forever.
Mm-hmm.
He does not mention Christie at all.
Yeah, he's just standing there in the background.
In that entire scene, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I wanted to bring up in the context of I'm not afraid to tell the truth about Donald Trump. But this is the other one that I think was even more important. This is from his Little Red post-campaign memoir, Let Me Finish. And it's a scene about one of his describing one of his first dinners with Donald Trump. So I'm going to just read from this scene. We sat at a large round table, perfectly positioned beneath the L'Observatoire lighting sculpture at the center of the bright white dining room, where we could be seen by everyone. He ordered for me seared scallops and cauliflower with caper raisin sauce as my appetizer. I'm allergic to scallops and roasted lamb loin for my entree. I've always hated lamb.
I hate lamb too.
I didn't complain, though I had to wonder, who does he think I am ordering for me like that? One of his chicks? Donald had divorced his second wife, Marla Maples, 2 years earlier. According to the New York Post page 6 column, his new gal pal, as the Post put it, was the Slovenian model, Melania Naus. I was just grateful the Jean-Georges portions weren't too large. So this is Christie telling you in print that he's allergic to scallops.
Which is sad.
That he eats because he's too afraid to tell Donald Trump that he's allergic, and Trump probably knows this and ordered the scallops on purpose.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the person who's not afraid to tell the truth about Donald Trump. A person,
but he is afraid to tell the truth about his own dietary restrictions.
Right. This is a guy who
allergies.
Willing to go into anaphylactic shock at a New York restaurant just to please Donald Trump at a time when it didn't mean anything. This was like way before there were any serious consequences. Trump was just a developer in New Jersey who might have been somebody who could contribute to Christie's campaigns. So that's the courage that Chris Christie shows.
And then he's a little snitch because he tells on him, but he won't speak to him.
Right.
He won't speak up during the time in real time.
In real time, exactly. And
raisin caper sauce does not sound good. Honestly, even if I wasn't allergic, I would have said, oh, do you mind? Actually, I don't eat lamb. So I definitely, because I don't eat any red meat. So I would have been like, sorry, Donald, I don't eat that. But I love scallops, and I love cauliflower. But if it was, I think I probably would have been like, I don't really like capers and raisins.
Right.
I would have stopped him at that. Not even an allergy issue.
But you don't think you would have said, Donald, I'm sorry, I can't eat scallops because my throat might swell up and I could die at the table.
I just mean I as Katie Halper without allergy. I'm saying that's how comfortable I'd feel pushing back against someone ordering for me.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't even have a life-threatening excuse.
Yeah.
I like the way you say scallops. You say very mid-Atlantic, like George Plimpton. Not
really?
Scallop. I say scallops.
It might be a Massachusetts
thing. Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. By the way, what did you think of this line? Wilson, can we play the ChatGPT thing?
Oh, yeah.
I've had enough already tonight of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT standing up here. And the last person in one of these debates, Brett, who stood in the middle of the stage and said, what's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing up here, was Barack Obama. And I'm afraid we're dealing with the same type of amateur standing on stage tonight.
Well, there's two things there. First, Katie, what's your reaction to the ChatGPT line? Like on a scale of 1 to 10 of scripted jokeness.
Like the most scripted.
That's the most scripted?
Which is a 9? Let's say 9.
A 9, you think?
I mean, it's definitely scripted, but you mean in terms of did he deliver it as if it was spontaneous versus scripted?
Oh, so it's a 10 in terms of definitely scripted?
Yeah.
And in terms of
ChatGPT to come up with it, that would be interesting.
That would be like an Escher painting,
yeah,
right? Like
Yep.
Where's the beginning of that sequence? That would be interesting. Yeah. And then the delivery didn't exactly make you think that it was offhand either, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Not great there. And then the whole, you know, skinny guy with a funny name.
Yeah.
Like,
it
makes me even for a Republican event, like, I don't really care, but, you know, that's a little dog whistle even for them, don't you think?
Yeah, I know. And he kind of distinguishes himself or tries to as being the, like, decent Republican. I mean, I don't buy it, but that's kind of his shtick. Although he also embraces the asshole. But that's kind of embracing the, like, xenophobic, like, low-key racist.
Right, right.
Like, and also Obama won twice.
That's true. That's true. The same kind of amateur who twice won with record numbers. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, it was a bad line. But, of course, no Republicans aren't going to push back on that, but it was.
Right, right. Yeah. Anyway, Chris Christie is... He's kind of an amazing figure in the modern history of the Republican Party, because his trajectory probably was the presidency at one point, if Trump hadn't happened. And I think he's got PTSD about everything that happened in 2016, right down to Trump offering him the head of the RNC and the attorney generalship and then pulling it back and, you know, not even offering the ambassadorship to Vatican City. Yeah, all this stuff. So anyway.
And of course, he was fine with Trump until he dissed him.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He had no objections whatsoever until he didn't get the job.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that certainly is a Republican suck.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
So what do we have for...
Isn't that weird? What we're about to see are two men who are breaking a very important Guinness Book record. And that record is greatest number of hugs per minute. So let's hear about not only they're breaking that record, but let's hear about something they discovered about the former record holders. And this gets into the verge. This is almost isn't that terrible territory.
When we realized that Anthony and Darius didn't even attempt to put their hands down during the hugging, whereas the rules clearly specify you must put your hands down to the side, but the previous record holders didn't necessarily always get it down to the side. So we're like, well, we're not going to follow that rule.
How are we feeling?
Ready to go. All right.
3, 2, 1, go.
So here they are trying to break this record. I don't even think that counts as hugging, though. And I don't like the way that they discovered that the last guys who did it, like, didn't put their arms down. I understand they feel like they want to break the record, but it seems to me like they're all embracing kind of a non-hug cheat, like a workaround. It also looks like they're giving each other some kind of, like, Heimlich maneuver, like backwards Heimlich.
It looks very much like repressed something.
Yeah, homoerotic and angry.
Yeah, I think these guys would be just
tearing each
nailing the crap
off.
Out of each other.
Yeah. They had their druthers. Yeah.
Yeah, if they had their druthers. That was the word I was looking for. Yeah.
Come on!
Woo! It does look like a good workout.
Yeah, I guess
very aerobic. I bet they would get in their exercise.
Hugging.
Yeah.
Power hugging.
Power hugging. Yeah, I like
did
that.
Did they set the record?
I think they did, right, Wilson?
Yeah, it was like 139 or something, but I don't buy it. Those aren't hugs. There was no love there.
I know. That. Well, I don't know. That's the thing. We're going to have to play
that's
this.
That's a good point.
Yeah, there was no love. There was no love. Right, I mean, we have to look into the rules, honestly. What were you going to say, Taibbi? Sorry.
I was just going to say that like a hug can't be quantified.
Oh, so you feel like this can't even, shouldn't even be a category.
It can't be a category.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, how many times can you fall in love? Like you can't do that.
You can't do how many times can you fall in love?
Right.
Really?
How do you quantify that?
I didn't know.
I think a hug has to have something real behind it.
I follow you on the hug thing, but I think falling in love is pretty quantifiable. I don't think you can like, I mean, interesting. You don't think you can say how many times you can fall? Like, are you saying you can't say how many times a person has, or you're saying that there's no limit on the number of times?
I think it's difficult. Like, how do you decide that?
Like, how do you, what's the line between like in love and just love?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Or falling in love at first sight or infatuation,
right,
or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Well.
Yeah. I think a hug has to be genuine. And you
so
can't
it can't
count.
Be forced. So it's not.
Yeah, it can't just be a thing.
Once you're counting, it's like the Heisenberg. Is it Heisenberg principle?
Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the one where it changes when you observe it? Is that something else?
Schrodinger's, is it Heisenberg's uncertainty principle or Schrodinger's cat? This is another one we're going to need to have Wilson look up.
Well, imagine a crossbreed of those. It's like if you're trying to count the hug, it doesn't count.
It looks too much like a push-up for me.
Yeah, it does. Like a mutual push, a two-person push-up.
Yeah.
Like a burpee, a two-person burpee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I had to cover a Guinness book attempt once.
What was it?
It was a bunch of Russian dudes trying to build the world's largest bottle cap pyramid.
Oh, how'd they go?
They fucked it up somehow. I mean, they were Russians, right?
Famously bad with bottle caps.
Yeah, well, it was either it fell down or they got
rowdy. It
didn't work out in the end, but. But, you know, people take this seriously. There are people who read the Guinness Book of World Records, and it's like their life, you know. Right.
If you were going to break a record, what would you try to break?
God. I don't even want to think about records probably I've already broken.
Right.
Because they're all grim. I don't know. Is there a good one that you'd want to go down in history for?
That I'd want to go down in history for, or that I'd enjoy, or like those are two different questions, I guess. But I realize anything I really like pizza, but I wouldn't be able to, I would feel so disgusting if I tried to break a record on consumption of pizza.
I once ate 130 chicken wings in one sitting.
For what?
We had a contest in my college.
Oh my God. Did you throw up afterwards?
I did. I threw up it was in ground round. I threw up in the ground round and then I got salmonella afterwards, which the doctors at the hospital thought was connected to the eating contest. So they were very mad at me. It turned out actually it was something that was going around at the school.
Wow.
But yeah, it was.
Did you get extra salmonella though? Because you had so much of it?
No. I didn't get salmonella from the ground round chicken wings.
I see.
I got it from the cafeteria at Bard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but
what was the prize for doing that?
So that if you guys are listening, you still owe me a Colorado Buffaloes hat. The prize was a Colorado Buffaloes hat. They never gave
Definitely
it to me.
Worth it. How could they not give it to you?
I don't know. That it was kind of a legendary moment. It came down to me and this one other guy named Trevor, and he was still working on, I had gotten up to like 125 or something like that, and he was on the plate that was going to get him
over
there, and he was trying to eat those last wings, and I grabbed some of his wings and started like licking them up and down like really close to his face, and he threw up.
So you made him throw up.
So it was a
knockout. Had you already thrown up?
No. No.
Is that cheating what you did? Maybe that's why they didn't give you the hat. No. It's all fair in love and war and chicken wings eating contest.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't make it to the bathroom either, which
he should have thrown up on you.
Right. He should have. That would have been justice. Appropriate. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Could you eat wings shortly thereafter, or were you unable to eat wings?
I couldn't eat wings for probably half a decade after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wings are already a little bit gross. Like, they're a little like sinewy. Like, when I eat wings, I eat very few pieces of it because a lot of it grosses me out. I'm actually a good person to have wings with because you can eat my wing leftovers. There's a lot on it, on the wing. Yeah.
Do you prefer the classic buffalo wing if you eat them at all? Or
Buffalo, yeah, I like that, but I hate blue cheese, so I won't. But that's not the company's buffalo, or is that part and parcel of buffalo?
No, that's definitely kind of a standard condiment.
So yeah, I don't do that. But ranch is good and barbecue is good, yeah.
You know what would go well with those wings, the different world record?
What? Which? Oh. Ooh, what is that?
That's soda?
Yeah, it's soda. World record for soda.
How much is it?
2 liters, looks like.
It's like waterboarding with soda.
Nice. Nice.
Wow.
Nice. I like that.
He makes it look a little effortless.
Yeah, well, you know, man drinks a lot of soda.
Yeah.
But good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
I like that record. Is that a record?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's a record for drinking 2 liters, 18 seconds and something. Yeah. So what do we got for Isn't That Terrible?
Isn't That Terrible? Okay, so I guess we have for Isn't That Terrible is a story coming from our favorite country, Austria.
Austria, right.
So the headline for this story is supermarket shut down due to spider that can cause long, painful erections.
Huh. Hate when that happens.
I just have to read from the text, I guess. Everyone split. That's an odd lead. Everyone split. Okay. Next paragraph. A supermarket in Austria shuttered this week after a venomous Brazilian wandering spider was spotted wandering in the bananas. I don't like that double wandering.
I know. This is poorly written for the New York Post. We expect better of you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. TMZ reported, citing fears that a bite from the deadly creature can cause long-lasting painful erections. The penny market in Krems an der Donau, which I guess is the city, which is about 45 minutes west of Vienna, the nation's capital, has reportedly been closed since Tuesday. The store manager allegedly rang the fire department after spotting the 4-inch black and red creepy crawly. Helpers sealed the store's banana crates, but the spider is still at large, per the Mirror. The Brazilian wandering spider's venom stimulates an erection that lasts for hours, according to Live Science. The erection is a side effect that everyone who gets stung by the spider will experience along with the pain and discomfort. That's a funny looking spider.
It is, yeah.
The face is unappealing.
Well, it looks like it's going like that, like lifting its arms up.
Yeah, like what's up?
Like, yeah, exactly. What's up? I'm going to give you a painful erection, bitch.
This is an interesting story. I mean, let's read on just for a second here. Yeah. Hang on. In 2012, Smithsonian Magazine suggested the spider could work as the next Viagra to help men who have erectile dysfunction, but it doesn't seem like the idea has legs as of yet. So now that should have been the lead.
That's finally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is not the first time this type of venomous spider has wandered to Europe. In May 2017, hundreds of the spiders infiltrated someone's bananas they had purchased from the supermarket Asda in the UK, according to the BBC. The spider spurred the family to evacuate their home.
So if you have an antidote to that bite, is that a boner killer?
A boner killer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would be. I find it a little strange that the properties of that spider bite were not somehow famous before Viagra.
Right.
No?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, wouldn't somebody have bought up every living exemplar of that species and tried to make a fortune off of it?
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that somebody like the Marquis de Sade didn't send a special boat to Brazil.
Drop the ball, the balls on that. Yeah.
Sorry. I guess you always have to think about what kinds of vermin might be in the foods that you eat that are imported from other places. But I guess if they cause long, painful erections,
you'd know.
But most of the time, you would be horrified by that. I think most men would be horrified by that. Yeah. Unless you just happen to be a person who has long, painful erections all the time.
Right. In which case, no skin off your back.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, I wonder what the Austrians, if they have a particular sort of social stigma attached to walking around with an erection.
Right. I thought you were going to say, I wonder what the German word is.
Oh, for long, like, painful erection?
For a man walking around with long, painful erection from spider in Brazil.
I bet there's one word for it.
I bet there is one word. Exactly, yeah. Man walking erection long and painful in spider. Oh, yeah, you do it.
Okay, there does not appear to be a separate word for even just for long, painful erection. Lange Schmerzschafte Erektion.
Oh, that's it. Okay, yeah.
But that should be one word.
Yeah, it should be one word.
Yeah.
Come on, Germans.
Yeah.
And Austrians. All German-speaking people? No. Well, that is indeed a terrible. And that has been your four basic food groups. And we have a great show for you today.
And to hear the full episode where Matt and Katie discuss censorship, shrooms, and Trump, please go to usefulidiots.substack.com.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.